Hello, listeners. Welcome back from Tashkent, from our hotel room. This is Gregor Winter, together with Ned Aram, in our little hotel room again. And right now, it's day one after arriving in Tashkent.
Yeah, it's kind of day two.
We slept 13 hours. Who knows what day it is?
We were also here all day yesterday. It's day two.
All right. He got me. Hello, listeners. So we are on our way to the training hall right now. For the second time yesterday, we went...
We're just kind of making this up. We haven't left the hotel room. We're definitely not on our way.
Well, you're about to put socks on, so we are going to the training hall.
That's not on our way, but anyway.
Okay. Ned is a bit of a contrarian.
Yeah. What's new?
What is new? Yeah. Yeah, last night, yesterday, we walked to the training hall. They built a completely new facility there, which was just finished 2 weeks ago, Azamat said.
Yeah, the building.
Yeah, the building looked brand new.
The building, it literally looks like a construction zone.
Yeah.
A lot of it.
And
they were like wiping it off yesterday.
Right. And yeah, the competition area is the same. The arena is the same. Yeah, who are we filming now, Ned?
I mean, in theory, we're going to see Japan and France, I think.
Yeah.
But
supposedly one of the first teams that arrived here.
They also sent out that email yesterday that claimed South Korea is here, even though I haven't seen any proof of that.
And we have no idea where, like, if they trained.
Where they trained.
Where they trained.
Because there was no weight set up yesterday. It was just a room.
It was just a room. They could have done handstands there.
Yeah.
Yeah. But we're getting into the whole travel thing later on, probably. Like, probably we do, like, one part here and then continue the podcast and then when we're back.
Yeah, it was an interesting... I've never landed in a country only to have 30-something messages from people telling me that the competition I'm traveling to was just cancelled.
Yeah, people told me, canceled. Gregor, you better look into return flights home, so...
You know, a lot of people... like panic when things are in countries that they're not familiar with,
especially if these countries end with a stan.
Yeah, people just, you know, most of the people who are panicked about it are people who have never traveled to Uzbekistan.
Mm-hmm.
And I would be panicked, and I don't know if panic's the right word, but I would be worried about it too in maybe, you know, like Turkmenistan, because Turkmenistan, I feel like there's, you know, it's a little bit more unpredictable.
Yeah,
Uzbekistan,
it's more fragile for sure.
Yeah, I mean, that's not to say that, you know, when I was in Turkmenistan, I felt perfectly safe there. But I'm just saying with the pandemic, I would be a little bit more worried about being in Turkmenistan or something like that. But the, like, Uzbekistan, like, the people are extremely friendly. The, you know, literally, like, the security guards are extremely friendly. Like, it's really not what people think. Like, people have this image of, like, oh, Uzbekistan's got to be this sort of, like, evil dictator regime. But it's nothing like that when you're actually here. You know?
Yeah, it's super friendly. Well, again, one of the friendliest federations we've ever worked with.
Oh, yeah. The federation is literally the friendliest to work with.
That's true.
Like, I can't think of one. And I'm even including USA Weightlifting, which is, for me, USA Weightlifting is extremely friendly to work with.
Yeah.
But even USA Weightlifting is a little bit more, like, hands-off. You know, like, if I request or, like, ask for help, they will help me.
Hmm.
Or if I ask for, you know, could I get these media passes, blah, 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 USA Weightlifting will help me. The difference with USA Weightlifting is they don't necessarily ask me. They're not like, hey, is there anything we can do to help you with this on this trip?
Yeah, are the lights okay? Should we fix the lights? Are they in your way? Or
yeah, it's very rare that comes up with USA Weightlifting. But with Uzbekistan, like, literally they're coming up to me. They're like, is everything fine? You know, can we get you anything? Is there, you know, do we need, like, do you need more food? Do you need more drinks? Like,
are the lights just okay? Ask me this in the lobby.
If you need more something.
Yeah. If, like, you could help. Somehow.
Yeah, like, is there anything I can get for you? Like, you know, do you need this? Like, do you need the competition stage move 1 foot to the left? You know, we can do it in between the sets. They're just so friendly. So, you know, I think that some people who are panicked about it. I mean, I understand. You know, we were talking to some people from the IWF this morning, and they were saying that, you know, if they were let's say, a team leader from one of the countries that was on the 10-day quarantine list, like in Italy or another country. Yeah. He understood, and he made a good point when he said, mm-hmm. If you're a team leader from Italy, you probably have to recommend against going, simply because even if the Uzbek organizing committee says, hey, you're here for sport, you have an exemption.
Yeah.
What do you do if the immigration officer tells you, right. No, you have to quarantine?
That's the thing. Because the immigration officer is the first person you'll meet here. And then comes the IWF people that probably pick you up from the airport.
Yeah, but, if they're not standing inside the airport and the exactly. immigration officer says, well, you have to quarantine and blah, blah, blah. What people don't understand is that, the quarantine, if you were quarantining here, would be like you have to quarantine like in a home or hotel. They're not dragging you off to like a concentration camp or something.
No.
So, but I understand, if you're from one of these countries that's on the quarantine list, I understand why they would recommend against it. The countries that aren't on the ban or quarantine list though, I feel like a lot of them are kind of being like...
babies?
Yeah, babies, or just over, I call them like panic monsters, people that just see like things in the shadows that they just like, they, it's just like, all right, like, yeah. It's going to be fine. I feel like also the pandemic is at a stage where you're not going to have mass flight cancellations worldwide sort of thing. Don't get me wrong. Like, certain countries...
The African countries.
Yeah, certain countries that don't have a lot of flight traffic to begin with and don't have a lot of, exchange with the rest of the world frequently. All right, if you have one or two flights in and out of your country to a major destination per week, yeah, you're at some risk of that getting cut off. But it's not going to be something where it's like, oh, flights from Europe to the U.S. are canceled in 2 weeks. That's just not going to happen at this stage of the pandemic. Hmm. And all of the leaders of countries in Europe and in the Americas and stuff like that, they're all saying stuff like, hey, we're going to fight this with vaccines, not with lockdowns.
No.
You know what I mean? So I don't really see a point where the U.S. is like, oh, well, we're banning incoming flights from Europe. Like, literally, I feel like there's a 0% chance of that happening. Now, is there a chance that on the way back that one of my flights gets canceled and I need to, switch flights and it's a bit of a hassle? I mean, yeah, that's possible.
Or you need to get a PCR test within 24 hours versus 72.
I mean, I would say I'm a favorite. I would say, it's over 50% that I will need a short-term turnaround.
Mm-hmm.
But first of all, that's not that tough to do.
Yeah.
And we've already done that in Uzbekistan. It's easy. There's a lot of labs. They do it very quickly. They even come to you.
Yeah.
The service is great. It's very inexpensive. It's going to be like $25 for us to get a 4-hour turnaround PCR test on the way out of here.
Yeah.
It's not a big deal. So, I feel like I don't blame the athletes for listening to a federation. If some athlete or if their federation said, hey, we're canceling it, and the athletes are like, well, I guess I can't go because there's no coaches. And also, if the federation cancels the flight, it's not like the athlete can just go take it anyway.
Yeah.
But I do blame some of the federation officials for being like a little bit too panicky in this instance in some cases. It's kind of like,
I mean, there was one thing that started the whole panic.
Oh, it was definitely the article from Inside the Games.
Inside the Games article.
Yeah, that definitely started the panic. No,
which had some inaccuracies in it.
I'm not sure. Which inaccuracies were there? Just with some of the quarantine rules?
Yeah, some of the quarantine rules.
Yeah, I guess that, the... I mean, some of it was right, which is that if you're just a random person from Italy flying to Uzbekistan, technically you are supposed to quarantine right now, I guess. Mm-hmm. But it didn't kind of mention the kind of carve out for if you're here on a sport visa.
And we should say, being from Germany, I had no issues coming in, even though...
I think the rule started on the 2nd. You came in technically on the 2nd.
Technically on the 2nd in the morning.
Yeah,
on the
2nd, 2 a.m.
At 2 a.m. So, but I was just waved through. Nobody... at immigration looked at a PCR test. They just checked my passport.
Yeah.
And when you're German, you can just enter the country without visa. So There was no checks. But this morning, the IWF people we talked to, they said right now there's stricter checking.
They're actually looking at PCR tests again.
They're actually looking at tests, and yeah, you probably have to get a letter or like a piece of paper saying you have to quarantine or something.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
I don't know.
Obviously that we've both been to Uzbekistan 3 times this year, so this is something that we kind of can compare and contrast earlier trips.
Yeah.
So on the first trip here, and the first 2 trips we were both on the same flight in, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And the third trip we were supposed to be, but I got pushed back a flight because of delays.
Yeah.
So on the first trip here, we had to fill out a piece of paper on the plane which we talked about in an earlier podcast that basically said that we agreed to quarantine. And in both cases, I just didn't sign the piece of paper that agreed to quarantine. So
yeah.
I never agreed to quarantine, and they never said anything to me in the airport about it, and no one ever complained, and, you know, it was fine. Then this, and also, so the first time we came to Uzbekistan, we had to show our test at a counter where they looked at it, even though, you know, she really didn't look at it. She just saw it said negative, and that was it. She didn't
stamp something on it.
Yeah, she didn't look at the date. She didn't look at whether it was a PCR test. She literally just saw the word negative and just said, okay, good. And didn't verify it was, you know, from a certain lab. None of that happened. Then the second time we came in was when Turkey was having some, like, COVID spikes.
Yeah.
And so because we flew through Turkey, we had to wait and get a PCR test on arrival. In which case, they did not look at my test very carefully that time either.
Hmm.
I think they did ask for it when I was going through immigration the second trip, but they didn't. They didn't look at it in any sort of real detail. But they did PCR test every single person on the plane on arrival. And then this third trip, there was no one to even look at your test.
Nope.
And there was also, they didn't ask for it at immigration whatsoever, which is very much like the U.S. system.
Mm.
Like, when you land in the U.S., no one asks you for your test.
Nice.
But they do ask for it before you get on the plane.
So the only people who looked at our test were the people in Istanbul Airport at the gate.
No, I had to show my test when I checked in New York.
Okay.
For my first flight.
When I checked in Berlin too, yeah.
Yeah, when I checked in for my first flight, I had to show my test.
Yeah.
And that was at Newark Airport. And then I flew from Newark to Istanbul. And then in Istanbul, they did also look at my test before I got onto the plane. And they actually did look to see, oh, is it a PCR test? Is it the right, you know, time frame? Blah, 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 mm-hmm. and everything. But, yeah, anyway, it was not very strict this time. So maybe people flying in over the next few days will face a bit of a stricter look. Like, people will actually look at your test and verify it and whatnot. But overall, not that strict.
And overall, one of the smoothest trips to Uzbekistan ever, or the smoothest trip. Like, I had no issues whatsoever.
Yeah, normally flying internationally, I do face more problems. Like, they want to weigh my bags, my carry-on.
Nothing.
Also, typically in Istanbul, when you get off the plane and you're transiting, you have a long walk ahead of you. And that long walk leads to another, like, you know, basically security process where you have to go through security. It's usually not that strict, which is nice. They don't normally tear apart my bag.
Yeah.
But you normally have to do what is essentially typically a 15 to 20 minute walk. Then you have to go through security, and then you have to do another long walk back out to the gates.
Yeah.
Now, in this case, what they did was basically, if you were transiting, you could just show them your boarding pass for your second flight, and then they let you out into the terminal, and you were literally right by the gates.
It was perfect.
So it was, now, in this case, I had about a 5-hour layover, so I didn't have any real, you know, it wouldn't have mattered that much for me if they had made me go through security. But
yeah.
if for someone with a relatively short connection, it's probably way easier the way that they were doing it this time. And I don't know if they're going to do that on the way back, because it might be something where they say, oh, if your plane's coming from Germany, we think the security's good. We'll let you out in the terminal. Your plane's coming from the U.S., we think the security's good. We'll let you out in the terminal. Your plane's coming from Uzbekistan, they might be like, well, we don't trust Uzbekistan security, so we're going to...
Let's recheck, yeah.
Yeah, well, let's recheck it. So we'll find out, you know, when we're coming back, we might have to go through security.
Yeah. Also, athletes, if you're coming to Istanbul, check the cafes and bistros on a second level. not in the main hall. In the main hall, in the bottom, it's super crowded. And also check the cafes if you like coffee and stuff. Want to sit down and have a more quiet area. The cafes near the gates also a lot more empty.
Yeah, I don't know because I didn't go to any of them.
Yeah, but. I mean, I had to find one.
Yeah.
Yeah, Eastern Way Apples was super crowded again. I mean, it always is, but.
It's still so much nicer than the old one, though.
Yeah, agreed. Anything.
Like that.
Anything is nicer than the old one.
Well, the old one had a nice lounge.
Never been to it.
Yeah. Well, I guess now you're never going to it.
Yeah.
The old one did have a nice lounge, but the old one was, like, very, very crowded and not enough space to walk around and just not well laid out. Now, the new one has some problems where it's, like, if your flight happens to be in one corner of the airport and your next flight's the other corner, you have, like, a one-hour walk in between the two of them. That, luckily, has never happened to me.
Yeah.
But it is... The new one, I think, like, you could get unlucky and end up in, like, a very long commute situation, but... overall, I really like the Istanbul airport, even though it's only maybe 2.5 years old at this point, because remember Batumi Europeans was essentially where they converted it over.
Yep.
So it's only 2.5 years old, but it's already kind of showing its age in a lot of places. Like, I was going up some escalators and I noticed, like, big cracks in the walls, and, I noticed...
Did you see Turkey is planning a giant new one? Another Istanbul? I saw a YouTube video about it.
Another airport or another expanding this one? Because this one, I think another airport. Really?
Really?
The original plan for this airport, this big new Istanbul airport, like what we're in right now, or not, we're not physically in it right now, but the one that we fly through these days, that's only one terminal, and they're planning on building a bunch more terminals.
Oh, okay.
So I do know that the original plans for this airport basically called for a much bigger... airport, okay. I guess I could say.
That's cool.
But I don't know. I mean, obviously, they do have the other airport, you know, the SAW. But I don't know about a plan to actually build another airfield, if that's what you mean. I do know about plans to expand that IST.
Yeah.
But
yeah, overall, easy trip here. We were one of the first people to arrive. When we had breakfast this morning, the first IWF people came in. They flew in this morning.
Yeah.
Yeah. And they talked about, like, a bunch of teams are probably not showing up. And they're expecting, what do you say, like 300 to 400, maybe?
I think they said it was originally 600.
Originally
and 600. And now they're expecting maybe 300 to 400 will actually come.
Mm-hmm.
Which, to me, if that Inside the Games article had never been written...
Yeah.
I think that number might have been like 50 to 100 higher at a minimum.
Yeah.
Like I think that caused like a big panic amongst teams and like a cascading set of cancellations. And then basically a lot of teams jumped to, you know, literally just canceled their flights. And by the time they realized like, oh, wait, the event's not being canceled and we don't have to quarantine and everything would be fine when we go. They had already canceled and told their athletes they canceled and had canceled all their flights and had done this and done that. And it was almost like too late. Like there's a bunch of U.S. athletes now who I've talked to who I think would want to come.
Yeah.
But they told basically USAW emailed them and gave them like an hour or two to decide, do they want to go?
Mm-hmm.
And in the face of kind of USAW telling them we you might miss Christmas, you might do this, you might do that, we won't be able to quote guarantee that we can get you home and like all sorts of kind of like panicky statements. A lot of people just said, oh, well, I guess I won't go.
Mm-hmm.
And so, but now that they've kind of seen the reality of what's actually happening, now they're like, oh, I wish I had gone.
Yeah. Yeah. So Brian Oliver, you almost canceled Worlds.
Yeah.
I mean, he posted a correction afterwards, or a clarification.
Well, I understand what he's doing, which is, you know, he's trying to kind of like, you know, it was basically a big news scoop, which was that Uzbekistan had put in some quarantine stuff for some countries.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was essentially what drove the article, because other than that, there wasn't anything really factually that changed. But So I understand why he's like, oh, they put this in. This is going to drive a lot of clicks and a lot of views. Let's write about it. Which I understand the logic, but you know, I think you do have to consider, like, is Uzbekistan actually going to make those countries quarantine if they're coming here for a sport reason?
Mm-hmm.
It's like, you know, in this case, the answer was no. The answer could have been yes also, in which case the article would have been, I would say, more accurate.
Mm-hmm.
Because in that case, for instance, Egypt would not be able to compete if they had to quarantine for 10 days. Italy would not be able to compete. Now, in this case, it sounds like Italy has completely withdrawn.
Which is really, really a bummer.
Yeah, it's too bad. I actually have a bunch of gifts for them. Like, I have posters of, like, Mirko from Tokyo.
Sick.
Stuff like that.
Yeah.
And even though Mirko wasn't coming anyway, I was going to give it to other people to give it to him. But,
yeah,
you know, other people, I guess, will get their... And I had some garments and, you know, like, apparel and things like that to give them to. But I guess other people are getting
I'm going to take it home and ship it to them.
Well, you'll take the posters. I'm not giving them the other stuff.
All right.
Yeah.
Yeah, and a bunch of other countries, like Britain, for example, was sending a giant squad because this championships was also functioning as the Commonwealth, as a Commonwealth championship, which is now, as we understand it, being cancelled, the Commonwealth part of it. So only the British team members that were lifting at the World Championships will travel here. That's how I understood it. Then we heard like countries like Poland are not coming. Obviously, China is not coming. They announced it earlier. But yeah, overall, this reduces the number of athletes by a fair margin, and which also means like less stressful days for us here. Like we're expecting, I'm guessing around like 4 sessions a day, maybe 5 with some B group, but not like 6 or 7 sessions that start at like 8 a.m. and last till midnight or something.
Yeah, I'm okay with that.
I'm not, because I don't have a second person here.
No. I'm saying I'm okay with it not being as long.
That, yeah. I'm okay with that too.
Yeah, I don't really like the meets where I leave and I feel like I'm like, you know, dying from exhaustion.
Yeah,
you know, it's like I don't really see the point of it. To me, also, I mean this gets into the whole like concept of world championships as a whole. To me, the whole point of the World Championships is to crown, you know, essentially figure out like the first, second, third place and at the Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, so I've often questioned what's the point of a D session at the World Championships,
because
someone in a D session is not going to win the World Championships. You know, because
you never know.
The whole point of World Championships is to decide the World Champions, not to rank 24th instead of 26th, right?
Hmm.
So, I mean, I understand, you know, and it's cool to have tons and tons of people compete, but, like, the massive, massive world championship stuff is a little bit silly to me. And to me, I would say it's the same thing with, like, the national championships in let's say, the U.S. Like, what's the point of, like, an E session at national championships.
Hmm.
None of those people are going to become national champion in any capacity. Now, what I do think there is a place for is events that...
Like the cup events.
Yeah, like cup events and things like the American Open that are going on now. That's not national championships. That's American Open. You know, that's... You know, to me, it's different when... It's kind of like the point of the meet is different.
Yeah.
And I've often thought that things like world championships and national championships should be more restrictive, where there literally just should not be anything more than at most like a B session at any of these meets, to kind of like follow what the meet is actually for.
How would you do a cutoff before an event? People registering totals and then just cut off the first 30?
Yeah. I mean, something like that. Uh-huh. I mean, but I'm not here to like talk logistics of how to actually get it done. I've just often thought that was the thing that made sense for how these meets should be. And so I've often been like, well, you know, why am I...
What do you mean? Is this a logistics podcast here?
It is a logistics podcast. Yeah. It's like Wendover. How do we involve airlines into this?
That's our goal.
Yeah.
How do you get travel in and airplanes?
But anyway, I mean, what I'm a little sad about with this meet is that a lot of people are going to get canceled... And I don't mean cancel culture, sort of canceled, but I mean like they're going to get canceled by their federation.
Yeah.
And they were people that basically this was their chance to meddle at a Worlds.
Right.
You know, because
like the Italians, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if you're talking about a lot of the Italians, even a bunch of the U.S. people, there were several people coming from the U.S. who aren't coming now, who I think would have had a shot to win a medal or to maybe even win Worlds. Like, for instance, for Kate and I mean, could she have won Worlds again? I don't really know. I mean, she's not in her best, you know, shape or whatever right now.
She's looking strong. She will compete at AO this weekend.
Yeah, as an 81.
Yeah.
No. But, you know, she, you know, could Kate have won Worlds again? I mean, maybe. You know, I don't know. And so, anyway, to me, it's like kind of sad that a bunch of people who, and there's other people, too, who have never competed at Worlds, mm-hmm. who I'm not sure if they're coming or not. Like Taylor Turner. I don't know if she's coming. I guess she changed her name, right? Taylor Wilkins.
Taylor Wilkins, yeah.
I still think of her as Taylor Turner, but she got married, Taylor Wilkins. I don't think she's ever competed at Worlds, and she was on the team. I don't know if she's coming or not. I asked her, and she, you know, said maybe. She's, mm-hmm. like, thinking about it or something.
All right.
But,
yeah, that's true.
You know, people need to realize, like, okay, you only have so many times as an athlete that you're going to compete at Worlds. Like, who knows? Maybe she, I'm not trying to like say anything, you know, I'm not trying to like put like bad juju out there, but like, you know, maybe she gets hurt or something like that and she never has another chance to compete at Worlds in her career.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, okay, you
gave be like, a, oh my God, I should have gone.
Like you shouldn't, yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like you shouldn't look at these chances like they're just going to come at any point in the future again.
Yeah, you know? You definitely have a finite amount of Worlds in you as an athlete.
Yeah. You have a finite number, and especially a lot of people who get started later who aren't, you know, you're not CJ who's going to Worlds when you're, you know, 15 years old.
Yeah.
I mean, CJ literally competed at the 2015 World Championship in Houston. He was 15.
Yeah.
So, you know, not everyone's like that. You know, when CJ's a 15-year-old, I think he can safely assume, barring injury, that he will have more chances. But, you know, people, you only have so many chances. A lot of these people will never get to the Olympics just because of spot limitations and just general competitiveness.
That's also one point. So many athletes that couldn't go to the Olympics as their first big competition afterwards, and now they can do it like...
And this is, for a lot of them, this is their first really big competition since 2019 Worlds.
Yeah, yeah.
And for some people, it's literally like the first big... like for Ahab, it's the first big competition since 2018 Worlds.
Which is crazy.
Like, Ahab hasn't... I haven't seen Ahab lift since 2018.
Well, I've seen him do Bundesliga after that.
Sorry, but I mean like a real meet.
Yeah. It was a big Bundesliga.
Big Bundesliga. Anyway, should we go so we don't miss this training?
We should. Okay, this is part one, and in a second, you'll hear part two when we continue. All right, and just like that, we are in the training hall, which now has some platforms, some barbells and weights in it. And right now, Team France is training here with one athlete, and her name is?
I can't pronounce it right, but it's like Garance Rigo.
Okay, we take that. They have one athlete here.
His name is spelled R-I-G-A-U-D, however you say that in French.
Rigo, yeah.
Rigo.
I guess so.
She was at 2019 Junior World in Fiji, the one that you skipped.
Yeah, the one that I didn't go to.
Yeah.
That's why I probably didn't remember her name.
Wait, you didn't know her name?
Nope, I did not. So what do you say about the layout here? We're going to probably include a photo later on.
It's extremely tight. The platforms are way too close.
There's probably for you Imperial Units people.
Oh.
Yeah, you're welcome. It's probably 1 foot in between platforms.
Yeah,
it's
a little,
very tight.
A little more than a foot, but still not very much, which is like, it's not really enough for us to shoot comfortably. Like when, especially when there's coaches and athletes and everything, you're trying to stay out of people's way.
Mm.
And it's all full of people, this would be an impossible situation to shoot.
Yeah, there will be people in front of people here.
Also, there's, you know, squat racks and plate racks, and then you have, you know, people moving around and someone else is going and you can't get in their way because you're trying to not impact anyone's training.
Yeah.
It's a little too tight for a good shooting situation.
What about this? Oh, okay. Awesome.
Oh.
Box inside the box.
It looks like he's welding.
Yeah, and he's not wearing a mask too. He's just looking into the flame.
I think he's not. I think he's closing his eyes when he does it.
I mean, he better. but it's still not, let's just say, not optimal welding in front of the face of the other dude.
He's welding. Oh, here's the IWF people coming to look at it.
Oh, yeah. Oh, it's fun when we were earlier than the official.
The guy from, Azamat's
here. Azamat is here.
The guy, our tour guide from yesterday is here.
Yeah.
I forgot his name already.
Yeah. If we sound a little bit muffled, it's because we're wearing masks here.
Yeah. We're in the bubble.
Okay, so far so good. I'm going to check my my camera settings, check the lights. And yeah, we'll probably talk to you soon once we're back in the hotel room. And we're back from the training hall.
With that.
We're back in the hotel room.
In the hotel room, and our bellies are filled with wonderful plov.
Yeah, except Gregor only ate half of his.
Oh, don't go. He just called me out again on the podcast.
I basically finished mine. It was delicious.
It was really delicious. So flavorful. Like, I know we talk a lot about plov on this podcast.
Yeah.
And actually, people have messaged me that since they listened to the episodes in Uzbekistan, they went out of the way to try plov. So
yeah, it's a good idea.
It's a good idea.
If anyone didn't do that, then what are they even doing with their life?
Yeah, you're not a podcast business.
Yeah. Okay. And there wasn't, I guess, you know, we talked about the training hall a little bit, but really we left and nothing really happened. There was one athlete. She wasn't going heavy.
No.
You know. Very relaxing day, but...
But it's good to see that athletes are actually here and more coming, so...
Yeah. There's a lot of people who, I would say, like, bitched out that, you know, shouldn't have.
Yeah.
But there's, you know, there's some people that it kind of, like, makes sense for them to not come. Based on maybe their certain travel requirements or travel, you know,
like Team China
and stuff like that.
For those who don't know, Team China, like when they go back to their country, they have to do a strict quarantine for 3 weeks.
I think it's a month.
Or a month even?
Yeah, I mean,
it was 20.
If I was Team China, I wouldn't bother. I was a little bit surprised. I actually made a comment on Reddit when Team China announced that they were coming.
Mm-hmm.
And I think I said something along the lines of, like, I'm surprised they're coming at all. Because, like, I thought they just wouldn't show up at all for this event.
Yeah.
But, I mean, as it turns out, that's what's happening. But I think that... I think that basically... The only reason that they were showing up at all was basically related to the election. And then once the election got canceled, they were like, let's skip it. Because, like, you know, why does anyone need to come from China if there's no election happening? You know, there's no point. China really only cares about Olympics in the end. Like, they don't, you know, no one there really cares that much about, like, world championships. Like, it's pretty much an Olympic-based system.
Do you think they still get bonuses for golds at Worlds?
I mean, they probably get something, but it's definitely not that important. Like, you know, to them, you know, Olympics are number one, Chinese national games are number two, and then I think, like, Asian games are probably, like, a long way down as number three, and world championships are basically mostly irrelevant, I would say. Especially, you know, in non-points years.
Yeah.
You know, if there were Olympic points on the line, like, they'd be here, you know.
I mean, they send people to all the cups, to all these small competitions, to earn points.
Yeah, I mean, they're not against sending people places, they're just...
No, they send people to Tramelan for the 210 challenge in Switzerland.
Yeah, exactly.
A meet with a platform that was not raised in I think, school gym.
Yeah, and, you know, and they sent, like, Lu Zhaojun and
Tian Zhao,
Li Daiyan and Shi Zhiyang.
Yeah.
It's like they literally sound
hilarious.
Like, they literally sound like an all-star team.
Yeah.
To, like, a high school gym to a meet that had a name that didn't even make sense. 210 what?
Yeah.
You know,
210 was not a challenge for anyone there.
Yeah. No. Did anyone even do 210 there?
I think a sad man was there.
Oh, a sad man.
Yeah. Man Assad from Syria. Yeah. The super heavyweight, and he definitely lifted more than 210.
What did he win? Was it bronze or silver at Olympics? I don't even remember.
Wolf-Kessel
like after Lasha, like, you know, what even happened at the Olympics?
Yeah. Who was second in Cyprus?
Honestly, I don't even remember.
Shit.
I want to say... Oh, you know what? It was Ali Davoudi was second.
Okay. And Manasad.
Manasad was third. Mm-hmm. But he didn't win a medal, so, you know. Olympic medals, nothing to...
Well, it's great.
Definitely something to mention. So what else do we have to talk about?
We have to talk about what you just said while you were eating your plov.
Okay.
The situation with, like, the USA.
Oh, I was just saying that I think it's kind of, like, a little bit sad for the athletes how many people... I mean...
Okay, so here's the situation. There's some athletes on Team USA that definitely want to come here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like the athletes on Team USA were, like, a little bit let down by the way, like, the staff all pulled out. Yeah. You know, like, the way that, like, you know, I don't even know exactly whose decision it was. See, so I can't really say, oh, you know, it's this person's fault on the staff, or it's Phil's fault because he told all the staff to pull out, you know, or it's this person at, like, the, you know, USOC told USA Weightlifting you all should pull out because of this. Like, I don't know where it originated from. So I can't say for sure a name as to whose fault it is.
Hmm.
But whoever made the decision to pull all the USA Weightlifting staff, I feel like made the wrong call. And the reason is that, you know, you shouldn't leave athletes kind of in the lurch on a situation like this, because these athletes kind of earned their way on the team. They've been preparing for this for, you know, many months or longer in some cases. And you shouldn't, you know, pull out of this at the last minute for really no reason. Right. So the thing is that...
There are no quarantine rules.
Yeah, there's no quarantine rules for U.S. people.
Yeah.
There's no flight cancellations of any kind that really matter for flight, you know, for people coming from the U.S. Like, Turkish is still running all their planes. I mean, none of that's happening. And there's nothing from the organizers that say, oh, you know, everything changed and we're going to do, like, a wildly different system here. Like, nothing really changed other than the fact that the U.S. has kind of insinuated that possibly we will have a shorter testing window on our return. And that doesn't really matter because it's really easy to get short turnaround PCR tests in Tashkent for really cheap. So I feel like whoever made that call within USA Weightlifting, or what, like I said, I don't know if it was within USA Weightlifting or outside of USA Weightlifting, whoever made that call, I feel like made the wrong choice. And I feel like staff who aren't going, or staff who were being told not to go, made the wrong choice, because, you know, now I've talked to several athletes who have said, oh, well, I mean, I would go, but, like, we're not going to even have, like, any staff there. Like, yeah. They're saying that, like, Piros is going, but, like, they're not even sure if Mike Atone is going,
mm-hmm.
and blah, blah, blah. And, like, they just don't want to feel like they would be, like, here kind of, like, alone in this and that. And the thing that's like, messed up about it to me is that all of these staff people who were going knew that this was a risky travel environment. So, once again, I'm not saying that this is a risk-free travel environment, because, I mean, let's be honest. I mean, you know, you or I could, like, test positive on our way out of here.
Yeah.
And we could get stuck, and there would be people being like, LOL, look at those guys that said it's not a big deal to travel. Like, they're stuck in Uzbekistan. Look what happened. Like, no. I never said it wasn't a big deal to travel. Like, it is risky.
Yep.
I could easily be stuck in Uzbekistan for weeks after this is over if I, like, you know, get COVID. I could, like, in theory, you know, get COVID. And, I mean, I'm vaccinated with a booster, so this is unlikely to be the case. But I could get a bad case of COVID. Yeah. I could end up in, like, an Uzbek hospital or blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm not saying this is impossible. I'm just saying nothing changed
This was
in the last week. that made that different. Like, I don't feel like my risk of getting a bad case of COVID in Uzbekistan is any different than it was a week ago, or 2 weeks ago, or 3 weeks ago.
Or at Asians or juniors.
Or at Asians or juniors. Like, that risk was there. Yeah. It's still there. It's going to continue to be there. It could happen. Like, I'm not saying this trip can't go south. It could easily go south, but it's really just not different. And I feel like leaving all those athletes to just kind of, like, make their own decisions and be on their own.
Having the athletes make that call is kind of fucked up. Like, I understand, like, if you're a team leader from Italy, like, we talked about it, like, it's your decision. Like, you make the call for all the athletes, and it's like, okay, fine, the athletes don't have a say.
But it's also a little different with Italy, because Italy is on that list of countries that are, like, supposed to quarantine coming into Uzbekistan.
Yeah, true.
So, you know, they could face a different experience in the airport.
Mm.
And frankly, like, you know, the Uzbek Weightlifting Federation, while they do have, you know, political connections to the point where, you know, they can ask for exemptions to things like that and blah, blah, blah. And I'm sure it would get worked out where, let's say Team Italy did, you know, show up and they were told at the airport, okay, you have to quarantine. These are the rules. Sign this, do that, blah, blah, blah. I'm sure that, like, it would get worked out, like, the next day. You know what I mean? Like, someone from, like, the Federation would talk to someone in the government, and the government would talk to someone, and blah, blah, blah. And, like, it would all get worked out. Like, they could face, like, a possibly a stressful situation in the airport where they're being told these are the rules and this and that. So, like, it's a little different if you're one of the countries that are on that list of supposedly having a quarantine for 10 days coming into Uzbekistan. And obviously, if you're one of the countries that are, like, banned from Uzbekistan, it's like, all right, I understand why you canceled. I mean, that makes sense. But, like, very few, there weren't that many countries that had big weightlifting teams that were of any real significance on the ban list. I mean, it was, like, Namibia or whatever. It was like, all right, you know, Namibia is not really a major part of international weightlifting. So, anyway, I just feel like, you know, it's messed up to do that to athletes who, you know, it's still the World Championships. It's still a big deal.
Yeah.
You know, even in an Olympic year, I understand it's not the biggest meet of the year, and I understand it's not, you know, the most critical world that's, you know, right before the Olympics with all these points on the line and blah, 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 but it's still a big deal, you know?
Yeah.
And it's just, it's sad for athletes. Like, I'll feel really bad if, you know, some of these athletes who this is their first world, like, end up not coming and then, you know, end up getting injured and end up, like, never competing at worlds because, you know, of, you know, basically what bad I think corner. Are, like, bad decisions at the top. Or, but like I said, whoever made decisions, I don't know. It's possible that all of the staff decisions were all individual and there was no call from the top.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? In that case, I just think the staff made bad decisions. And I think, you know, if people are worried about travel and worried about getting stuck somewhere in quarantine or whatever because they test positive from COVID, I just think they just shouldn't agree to go on trips in the first place right now. You know, it would be the same thing. Like, for instance, Junior Worlds will be, I guess, in Greece in March.
Hmm.
You know, whoever at USAW says, hey, I'm going to go to that, like, they should just be prepared to know that they're possibly going to get stuck there in quarantine because they tested positive or something. You know what I mean? Like, that the trip could go south for them. So they just need to, whoever does sign up for that needs to agree to just be like, just roll with the punches and just deal with whatever happens and not back out because of
a bad feel,
you know, like an article says that, you know, the world championships seem like they might, you know, get canceled or something like that.
Right, agreed. In other news, I'm pretty happy that Egypt is making a comeback here.
I'm excited for Egypt. I mean, really, are you excited for anyone except for Ahab?
I mean, I'm happy for anyone to show up from Egypt, but especially happy for seeing Mohammed again.
Yeah.
Who promised a world war.
Yeah, I think he said, like, preparing for war or something like that.
Yeah. Which is cool. He's going to have a tough competition with, like, the Rodriguez's.
I don't really know about that. I mean, you know, he didn't look that good at Pan Ams, but then again, he might have also just not been trying.
I mean, Sturi, Nino, wait, Nino not? He's not coming because of Italy?
Okay. Yeah, Nino's not coming. I mean, we'll see if Sturi is even, you know, in shape. I mean, he hasn't, he's been on list to compete since, you know, we'll see if he's anything like what he was at Euros, but...
I mean, when you say Sturi, we mean Carlos.
Yeah, I'm not really sure like what he actually goes by. I assume it's just Carlos.
Carlos Nazar?
Nassar. I don't know how to pronounce his name. Until I hear locals say someone's name, I really don't know how to pronounce it.
Yeah.
I know we've talked about that on podcasts before, but, you know, if you travel in Russia and you hear someone say Oleg Chen, you know, 50 times, then you just stop calling him Oleg Chen.
Yes.
Yeah. You just start calling him Oleg Chen. So, I mean, no one in Russia says Oleg. They all say Oleg.
No, the O is an A.
Yeah, so...
Similar to the US, actually. Like, a lot of times O's are A.
In what sense? Like, what's an example? I mean, first of all, English has a lot of weird pronunciation, so I'm not doubting it. I just don't know what you're talking about off the top of my head.
I will remember something.
Okay. Anyway, so... Yeah, with Sturi, Carlos, whatever, I don't really know how to say his name, but yeah, I've confirmed with a lot of people that they are still coming. Like I talked to Talha Talib from Pakistan. He said they're still coming.
Nice.
I talked to you know, obviously the French are here, the Japanese are coming.
South Korea.
You know, South Korea is supposedly here, even though we're not really sure about that.
You know, one example is like product. So you don't say product.
Product?
Product. You don't, that's the product. German way of saying it.
Yeah, that's like true.
And there's a bunch of words like that.
Yeah, there's there's a lot of like, actually the way that Canadians pronounce things is a little different. Like they say product.
Oh, they say product.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah, Canadians pronounce stuff a little bit more like how it's spelled.
Mm-hmm.
And whereas Americans don't. Anyway, sorry, I'm a little what was I talking about? The team's coming. Yeah. Oh, I talked to Georgia. Georgia said they're still coming, so yeah. I guess like Lasha and
Rizzi
those guys should still be here. You know, and obviously Miso's in Georgia, so he's coming.
Yeah,
stuff like that. So, I mean, and obviously the. You know, there's a lot of countries that, like, there's no way they would back out because of COVID. I mean, like, Russia is not backing out. Like, can you imagine Maxime being like, yeah, we're backing out because of COVID?
Like, yeah, we're afraid of COVID. Like,
no, there's
COVID
no way.
COVID doesn't exist, yeah.
Yeah. So, yeah, Maxime's not going to pull his team out because of COVID. And, you know, I'm sure that, you know, countries like Armenia and stuff like that.
Turkmenistan,
they're still coming. Yeah. Even though Polina, their silver medalist from Turkmenistan, said she's not coming. I checked with her. So really the only places I can think of that have a lot of dropouts are the U.S. has a lot of dropouts because of... I mean, I think some of the athletes would have canceled irregardless of what the staff did. But I feel like if the staff had said, hey, we're all going, then... I think a lot more of the athletes would have come. Put it this way. If there was no Inside the Games article and all the staff said that they were going, I actually don't think anyone in the U.S. would have canceled.
Right. It's that article.
That article caused a lot of chaos and panic. And I also don't think it helped that, you know, China said they were not coming because then people started thinking, like, wait, what do they know?
Yeah.
You know? Even though... The reality with China is that a large part of it was because there was no direct flight, and for them, it's like much more complicated for them to transit because of like how their rules work, essentially.
Mm-hmm.
And so that was one of the problems that the direct flight there's one direct flight a week on Uzbekistan Airways from Beijing to Tashkent. Normally, under normal circumstances, there's one a week. But right now, it's not running because, obviously, China has such strict travel rules right now and with regards to like their COVID policies. So essentially that was like the reason that they pulled out. But anyway, the only other major country I can think of that really pulled out was Italy. Like it's a lot of the U.S. athletes in Italy those are the two that, you know, I'm like, okay, they're just not, you know, going to come. I'm pretty sure Colombia's coming because all their athletes are writing to me, you know, as if they are coming. Like a bunch of them are writing to me asking, like, do you have this product to give me or this question or that question. And so I'm pretty sure Colombia's coming. You know, I haven't looked at, is Ecuador, like, is NACI even on the list? I don't even know.
Should I pull the list up?
Yeah, we can pull the list up, but I haven't like studied the list in detail. So, but anyway, it's not like I don't know that many cancellations, but the IWF people this morning were saying that they think that maybe half the athletes will drop out.
Yeah.
So if half the athletes are dropping out, I'm trying to figure out where a lot of them are coming from. Now, I know there's a lot of people that are dropping out because of the Commonwealth thing. So a lot of like the athletes from the UK countries, the various UK countries, like, you know, Wales and Scotland and this and that, a lot of them are not coming. So it might just be the world team members from Great Britain that are coming.
So Ecuador has a couple of people on the list, but not NACI.
Okay, so I don't know about like Ecuador and stuff like that, but I'm trying to figure out just exactly which other countries are canceling. I don't really care that much though. I would have really liked to see Italy here. I mean, partly because I brought a bunch of gifts for them that are, you know, specific to them, like posters. So it's I can't just repurpose them and give them to someone else. Some of the things I brought, like, you know, apparel, I could just give to whoever. But, yeah, there's just, as pretty much, I'm just super excited to see the, like, the 109 session. Like, as long as, like, Simone shows up, hopefully he's in shape, and, like, Duraev and Nurudinov, I mean, that's just going to be, like, just a classic session. Like, when they told me, like, or not when they told me, but when my plane landed, I had all these messages from people, and I saw that article that, like, Bafa sent in our group, and you sent me a picture of it, and this and that. My first thought wasn't like, oh, I've got to, like, turn around and go home. My first thought was like, oh, my God, that session was going to be sick. Like, I'm so sad that might get canceled. Like, but anyway, I'm glad it's not being canceled.
Yeah, the first thing you said was, oh, man, let's just stay for the 109 anyways, like. Just hope they do like a little competition and just.
I honestly would have. I would have just stayed if they told me that like
we're doing an exhibition.
Like we're doing like an exhibition with us lifting, because I to me that's gonna be so much fun to watch, especially being in Tashkent. That's gonna be like a ton of fun.
Asians, it was so good.
Yeah, it's gonna be even better now that like Duraev is an Olympic champion. Also,
yeah,
like to have the last two Olympic champions plus to have the last Olympic silver medalist from both years here with Simone, that's just going to be epic. Like, you know, people always talk about certain sessions. You know, people always talk about, like, the 105s and Almaty, and they talk about, you know, this session and that session. But, like, I think this is going to be one for the books. It's going to be epic.
All right. Knock on wood. It's
yeah. Something. And I'm trying to think of like what else to talk about.
Well, I went out and got my IMEI registered.
Oh yeah,
without any issue, guys. Well,
this for longtime podcast listeners will remember that we had some problems when we came here for Junior Worlds.
The odyssey of getting banned on Uzbek networks, and right now, yeah, just bought a SIM card at the airport. You get an SMS: hey, if you don't want it to get banned, you have 30 days.
Well, now it's in English, too.
Yeah, they send
like
the SMS.
They've started to make it a little bit more friendly.
In Uzbek, in Russian, and in English.
Yeah.
So, pretty easy. I just looked up where to do it. Went to the post office across the street.
The Posta?
Yeah. And, yeah, paid $5 and did it. Super easy.
I didn't have to do that because I still have the same phone as I had at Junior World. So, my phone's already registered in Uzbekistan.
Perfect. I think that wraps it up for our first or second day here. in Tashkent. Hopefully tomorrow we can talk more about actual lifting.
Yeah, I'm a little worried though. Like the training hall, like I said, it's just super dense in there. That's going to be very unpleasant. If it's full, you know, if it's not full and the athletes are spread out a bit, it's going to be perfectly fine.
But you know what's going to happen? Athletes will not voluntarily spread out.
No.
If they're not told to.
Yeah.
What's going to happen is they all clump in like little areas, and then there's going
to
be...
Yeah, everyone likes to train at the same time of day.
Yeah.
Everyone likes to come in from like 2 to 4.
Yeah.
That's the most popular lifting time.
Mm-hmm.
And so no one's going to be in there at like 8 and then 10 and then 12 and then 2 and then 4. Like everyone wants to train from 2 to 4.
Yeah.
You know?
It's going to be difficult.
So it's going to be... I predict difficult training hall footage this year, even though, you know, we'll see. We'll see if there is any really interesting stuff, because historically, I would say like half of the interesting training hall footage is Chinese.
Chinese, Lhasa.
And North Korea traditionally has some good training stuff, and
Colombia does too, to be fair.
Colombia does some. So,
and if Ehab shows up, of course.
Well, Ahab normally, I very rarely have a good Ahab training. I actually don't have a single good Ahab training hall session ever.
Oh, by good, you mean heavy? No, he doesn't go.
No,
heavy.
He doesn't.
Like, he does go 130 snatches like 5 times with like 5 different plate combinations.
Yeah, he does something like that. Or yeah. Or he'll do like power snatches or something.
Yeah.
But he doesn't, you know, like we're
you won't see a Toma session where he's attempting world record.
No, that's the other thing. Like, Toma's not here, so that's going to be. That's going to be another set of training hall stuff that won't be too interesting.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, we might get some interesting stuff. Like, okay, yeah, is Guo going to do, 90, 130 or 90, 120 or something? Like,
Probably.
Like, she'll probably do, like, 90, 95, 120, 125.
And Sturi also likes to go heavy. Before the Olympics, he did this 190 in the training hall. Like, I remember
Sturi? You're talking about Christoph?
Yeah, Christoph. Yeah.
I was going to say, sure, he didn't go to the Olympics.
Yeah, and Sturi's also not snatching 190 yet.
Yeah, not yet.
Not yet.
Christoph does like to go heavy in the training hall, so he could be interesting. I mean, that's the other thing, too. If he's in the 109s, that could make the whole thing pretty interesting. He's not good enough in the clean jerk to compete with those other guys yet.
Yeah.
Like, he could throw some weight around in the snatch and possibly be in the medals. Anyway, the whole thing, like, I'm excited for this year's Worlds. I gotta be honest. Like, I was disappointed when I was reading all that stuff about cancellation, because I was like, this is like the first meet, and, you know, this is like getting into like a whole nother subject, but like, in for me personally, since COVID really happened, it's taken a lot of the wind out of the sails for my like personal enthusiasm to go to weightlifting meets,
mm-hmm.
because it makes the travel more stressful. It makes a lot of people like not show up, or this problem or that problem, or like they couldn't train because like their country shut down all gyms for, you know, 2 months or something, like something dumb. And so it's like, it's really... Now, first of all, I shouldn't say like that it's made me care less about weightlifting as a sport, because it hasn't. I still really enjoy weightlifting, but it's taken a lot of my interest out of like what's going on in weightlifting right now. Mm-hmm. Like when there were like a lot of like virtual meets, like honestly, I didn't even watch a single virtual meet.
I tried to watch a couple, and it's barely watchable. You have like choppy videos, grainy videos, no audio, a lag, and it just drags on, and it's just a pain to watch.
Like, I think I pulled up one. There was maybe, like, some sort of, like, Pan Am meet. It wasn't senior Pan Ams, but it was, like, maybe, like, a youth Pan Am that was, like, a virtual meet. I think I literally watched, like, 2 lifts and just, like, shut it off and went and did something else.
Yeah.
And, like, you know, a lot of it really started to make me just, like, not care. I was like, honestly, I don't even care what happens, because...
Mm-hmm.
To me, it's just not that interesting. And there was a lot of, you know, there were some virtual meets in the U.S. that were, they were run better. You know, USAW did, like, a better job actually, you know, running them. But I still just wasn't that interested in watching, like, combo meets where there's, like, some people lifting at home, some people lifting in person. And you know, the meets that happened earlier this year, like, obviously Asians was good. You know, that was exciting. There were a lot of good athletes there, you know, with the whole, like, Chinese A-team going and stuff like that. But, like, this is the first meet that I can legitimately say that I'm excited for. Like, really since, like, Worlds? Pattaya.
Yeah, since Worlds in Pattaya.
Like, I wasn't even... I mean, and it's not because I wasn't there, but I really legitimately was not excited for the Olympics this year.
Because you knew who was going to win for the most part.
Yeah, I knew...
The most boring Olympics ever.
Yeah, I mean, there were, like, two or three sessions that I was like, oh, wow. Like, obviously the Heidi session was very... You know, that was, like, you know, very exciting, you know, because... You know, I'm friends with her and Julius, and obviously it was a big moment for the Philippines and et cetera, et cetera. So it's not that the Olympics was boring as a whole, but most of the sessions were like, I know who's going to win. I know what's going to happen. I know what they're going to do. There's not like some great battle in most of these sessions.
Yeah, it's really the qualification system that fucked it up.
Like, the qualification system was dumb.
Yeah.
And
so bad.
It was just not exciting. Like, yeah. I mean, I was
excited for some lifters that you know personally, like, to watch those people lift. I was like, okay, that's cool. Like, I still enjoy watching it. Like, I still enjoy. For example, Yasmin from Malta.
Yeah,
like, she was. I was watching the session and was like, oh my god, it's so cool to see her there. And
yeah, it's very exciting for her, and it's cool to see things like. Oh, you know, Miso winning gold, because it's like a really big moment for
and we've known
Qatar
him for so long,
and stuff like that. And we've known him for so long, and we've seen him kind of like, you know, progress and this and that. And it's cool to see, like, you know, Jiraiyev win and stuff like that. It was kind of cool because I, you know, made the singlet.
The singlet. We haven't talked about it on the
podcast. Did we talk about it on the podcast?
No, we haven't done a podcast since the Olympics.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
So I guess the Jiraiyev thing, we could say that. So what happened was, Akbar had a singlet, but they went to Ukraine
for training camp
to train, and they were going straight to Tokyo. They weren't coming back to Uzbekistan. He forgot his singlet, and he was scared to tell the federation that he forgot it. So
that's the funny part. And then Ruslan messaged me if I could buy a singlet somewhere in Germany and have it shipped express to the Ukraine.
Yeah.
And I couldn't even get one of the Nike singlets. Like, he wanted to get that one.
He wanted to get the red Nike singlet that they all wear.
Yeah.
And so he messaged me and he said, can you get the Nike singlet? And I checked on, you know, Athlete PS, and they had it in stock, and they can do like, you know, you can pay for FedEx overnight delivery. So, you know, I got the singlet, and I put the Uzbekistan logo on it, and I put his name on the back. And I actually made two. I made one for him and one for Ruslan. So I don't know. Ruslan, they might be wearing them here.
Yeah, they probably will.
I'm not sure. And so, you know, they both have their names on the back and this and that. And then I shipped them to them, and that was where things went haywire. Because I shipped them DHL Express, which DHL Express is very reliable for fast delivery. Like, they don't really, you know... Things don't disappear on tracking on DHL Express for like 2 weeks at a time, like they do with some of our, you know, economy shipping methods and stuff like that. So it wasn't a DHL Express problem, but what happened was they were staying at essentially this thing. I don't think it's the thing called Epicenter, is it? It's like a sport comp. Maybe it is Epicenter, but it's. They were staying at a sport complex in like kind of it's fairly remote area of Ukraine. It's like way out down the south, kind of near Moldova. And it's the training center that you see them at all the time. And you've seen like Mart Syme there, and you've seen the Latvians there. And
Lasha.
Does Lasha go there very often? I think I've seen him there once, but they don't go there too often.
Maybe not often, but I've seen him there. Yeah.
Well, anyway, it's that training center that a lot of people go to for training camps. So I send it to Ruslan, and I put the training center in the company line.
Oh, okay.
So there's like the name line, the company line, then there's like street address, this and that.
Uh-huh.
And I put Ruslan's name on it. But the way that the Ukrainian, you know, customs people interpreted it was that I was sending it to a company, not to a person. And yeah. The customs rules for Ukraine, if you're sending it to a company, are like that company needs to have some sort of like customs number. Like they need to be registered with customs, and in order to receive it, that they need to like provide that like customs number. It's some sort of like tax number probably, or whatever. Yeah. And the sport complex, which is in, you know, a remote area of Ukraine, so not surprisingly, did not have a customs number. And so we had this problem in that, like, in order to get that, and then keep in mind this had Akbar's like Olympic singlet in it, and we're like a week from Akbar leaving for Tokyo.
Yeah.
And meanwhile they're telling me that they cannot release it because of the name being on there. And I put the name on there not as a like, oh, send it to this company. I put it on there as like a way to let the DHL delivery driver know like what to look for when they're driving down the street. It's like this is where I should stop, you know. Well, here's the name, here's the address, but also here's the name. You know, it just I just figured it's the same way as like if I sent something to a hotel in Dallas, I'm gonna address it to like Hilton Dallas and then put the guest name on it. I'm not just gonna put, you know, like 123 Hilton Lane. You know, I'm gonna put the name of the hotel.
How did it get
resolved? So what ended up happening was I ended up having to send a letter to the Ukrainian customs authority that basically said like this was not being sent to this company, it was being sent to this person. And by the way, his name was on there, so it wasn't like I made this up. Like his name was on there the whole time. And like, can you please switch it so it can be like, you know, altered and blah blah blah. So it got really complicated from there though, because it took them like 5 days to switch it. So they're leaving in 2 days.
God.
Okay. And the problem was that if we and keep in mind this whole time it was in Kiev. It never got transferred to that local place. Like it stayed in Kiev while it was going through the customs stuff. So we had this problem in that if it got released, it wasn't going to make its way down to that part of Ukraine in time, according to what DHL was telling us. So not only did we have to put in this request for them to change the customs on it so it would go to Nurudinov and he could pay it and blah, 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 we also had to put in a request to tell them, don't send it down to this like part of Ukraine. Like, send it somewhere in Kiev, either that or let someone pick it up. So we ended up having... You know, Tarakti and Ruslan are close. Like, they're friends with each other. And so we ended up having someone from, like, Tarakti's team be, like, the consignee. So they were able to go pick it up at DHL.
Wow.
And then they brought it, like, to the airport where Ruslan and Akbar were transiting and gave it to them, like, on their way to Tokyo.
Wow.
And that was how... Or I guess Ruslan wasn't on his way to Tokyo. Akbar was on his way to Tokyo, and Ruslan was on his way back to Uzbekistan.
Yeah.
And so that was how they ended up getting that singlet for Akbar.
What a backstory.
Crazy backstory. People don't realize what it takes to get someone a singlet. But,
oh, my God.
So I learned my lesson. Do not ever put a company name on something that doesn't absolutely need the company name if you're going to have...
If you're shipping to the Ukraine.
If you're shipping... Really, I mean, I think it's actually, now that I think about it, really anywhere that's going to have customs involved, it's pretty much a bad idea to put a company name on. Because it really, like, especially if it's DHL Express, because they would have delivered it fine if I'd literally just had the address on it, because they would figure it out.
Okay.
Because their drivers are not dumb, like a lot of, like, the local post office drivers that just don't give a fuck. So, anyway, it was kind of my fault for not thinking that through. But then again, it was also not my fault because I was just trying to help.
In edge case, yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, so that was...
Now we know, listeners. You have
that was
a
very, very interesting backstory. But
yeah, and stuff like this makes the Olympics like way more interesting. If you know the people, if you know what's going on behind the scenes. And that's what we're saying. Like, we don't think the Olympics are boring.
Actually, I did think a lot of it was boring.
A lot of it, okay, was boring. But
Like, for instance, it wasn't interesting for me. No, I didn't watch it because I happened to be on the plane home from Hawaii. But, like, the 73 session...
Okay.
The only thing that was interesting for me was, will CJ do well?
Mm-hmm. Because you also had a bet going.
I have a bet, you know, related to that. But, you know, not to get into the CJ bet.
Okay.
But... I mean, if you want to discuss it, we can, but, nope. You know, I don't know if we want to get into another side topic. But, like, you know, obviously it was interesting for me to know, like, is CJ going to do well? Is he not going to do well? What attempts are they going to pick and whatever? But the rest of it wasn't that interesting. Like if Shizhi Yang made 196, 198,
yeah.
Like, honestly, I don't really care because... I know that he's just capable of way more. Mm-hmm. Now, in that case, he probably wasn't because he was injured before that. But, you know, it's like, you know, what's the difference? 194, 198 for Shizhi Yang. It's like, eh.
Mm.
You know, if Shizhi Yang showed up and did 205, I would be like, oh, damn. That was like one of the six things I've ever seen.
Yeah.
But it's like, eh. It's the same thing with, like, Lou. What did Lou do? Like, 170, 200, or 2... What do you do, like 202? I don't even know exactly what he clean and jerked, but it's like that. That's the thing. Like, yeah. Most weightlifting competitions, I could tell you the numbers that everyone did,
mm-hmm.
but like with the Olympics, it was just like,
yeah.
I mean, other than Lasha, there really wasn't like a, oh my god, like insane like lifts. Blah blah. I mean, okay, Heidi's 127, big lift for her,
and China missing afterwards.
China missing what?
Didn't Heidi do...
No. Heidi took the last lift.
Heidi took the last one.
That was China.
Oh,
China.
It was a bad call from China. That's what we thought, right?
China's coaches were so dumb there. And put it this way. If their job was to throw the competition and give Heidi a chance to win... And when I say throw the competition, I mean throw the strategic advantage of going last. I mean, then they did a good job. But if their job was to like put their athlete in the best chance to win, like the Chinese coaches just played that one terribly.
Yeah,
like they should never have given Heidi the last lift. But no, China didn't miss. She just took lighter attempts. But for the most part, like the Olympics were kind of boring. So I guess the way I got on this topic was, it's really been like Pattaya was the last time that I really felt. Like, I was at a weightlifting meet where I was like, I can't wait to see what happens.
Hmm.
And at this meet, I mean, to be fair, there's a lot of sessions at this meet that I'm not that excited for. I can't say I'm that excited for, like, the women's 45A session. You know what I mean? But
yeah, I'm still waiting for the first exciting 45A session.
Yeah, there hasn't been a good 45A
there
session.
There was a good battle. What was the battle?
Diaz and D'Alembera or whatever?
Yeah. It's a great battle. Jake, if you're listening, we got you.
Yeah, at what that was at Asians, right?
Yeah.
At Asians. Do you want to tell that story?
Nah.
No, it's okay.
Too niche.
Too much. that was a great battle. Yeah, so I'm not so excited about, like, you know, women's 45A, and I'm not really excited, you know, about like the 55A's either for the men. I mean, but there's some sessions at this meet that I am pretty excited for. Obviously 109 is the big one, but like I'm pretty excited to see, you know, people like a Hob lift and stuff like that. Yeah. So
one bummer who's not showing up, Rizik.
Oh, Risky?
Risky's not showing up.
Yeah. Wait, okay. So Risky is his real name, but Rizik is his, So for a long time before Junior Worlds, in Gregor's head, Rizky's name was Rizik. And Gregor was shocked the first time I told him. I was like, you know his name's Rizky, right? And you were like, what?
What?
Like, what? Like, no, his name's Rizik. And then you literally, like, read it on, like, you know, his Instagram, and you're like, oh my god, you're right. It is Rizky.
It is Rizky.
And now you've been calling him Rizik, or you've been switching over to Rizky, but...
Yeah, it's, right now I already forgot which one it is.
Yeah, it's Risky. Not Rizik. Risky Juniansia.
Yeah. He's 73 from Indonesia, who did incredible training lifts, like 200 clean and jerk.
Yeah.
Huge snatches. Like, and he just told me again, like, I want to do the clean and jerk world record for the seniors. He's not coming. Wouldn't tell me why.
I mean, I would expect to see him at Junior Worlds in Greece.
He has one more year.
Yeah.
Which is nuts.
So, yeah, I think he'll be there. But obviously I'm also excited just to see what Lasha will do here. See if he'll keep his, you know, world record streak going, or if he'll, you know, kind of go for like an easy meet or whatnot. I'm excited to see Lala Yan as well, just because, I mean, I feel like he, you know, he's not really getting the recognition he deserves for how good he is and how young he is.
Mm.
Like
how old is he?
He's only 21.
Wow.
Or maybe 22, actually. Because I think he's a 99 birthday. So, yeah, he's probably 22 by now.
That's nuts.
But, you know, he beat Ali Davoudi in Fiji, which was interesting. Because, you know, I think Ali Davoudi, like, wasn't used to, like, the idea of, like, losing at juniors at that point.
Hmm.
And Balayan beat him there. But Ali Davoudi didn't have a good meet there either. But, yeah, I'm excited to see that. I mean, it's just going to be gonna be cool. I think Gore is coming too.
Mm-hmm.
Gore's on the list. It's just it'll be exciting to see a bunch of these sessions, and I'm glad that some U.S. athletes are coming. It sounds like Ian Wilson's coming.
Yeah,
Ian is coming. As far as I know, Jake Horst is coming.
Maddie
Rogers is coming. Jules Rioto is coming. I am glad that. That, you know, some of these athletes, like, kind of thought it over for a little bit and decided to come rather than just kind of, you know, backing out at, like, the first sign of, like, anything possibly being wrong.
Yeah.
I think that's about all I can think of. I don't know what else we have to discuss. I'm sure I'm going to think of something in, like, 10 minutes and be like, shit, we forgot to talk about that.
If you do, then we're going to add it to this podcast.
And yeah, so we might be back or we might not.
We might not.
Well, we'll definitely do another episode.
For sure.
So especially if this is an easy world where it's a lot of time cancellations and
upload stuff.
Yeah.
Thanks for listening. This was Gregor Winter and Ned Aram from Tashkent, episode 1 at Worlds.
Yeah.
All right. See you.